love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call
me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues, we have a great show for you tonight. Our guest is Miss Grace Crockett. She's the founder of Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions in Phoenix, Arizona. And tonight we're going to hear her personal testimony and story and what she's doing to help other women in the community. So before we bring her on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
We'd just like to thank everybody who tunes into our show every Wednesday night. And before we get to Ms. Grace, we would just like to say, we thank everybody that we do business with and all the prisons, 150 prisons across the country, fed and state, men and women. And we just like to give a big shout-out to our soldiers in the street that's educating. So without further ado, we're going to go to Ms. Grace and have her formally introduce herself. Hey, Ms. Grace, how you doing?
Good evening, Mr. Boyd, and good evening, Lucinda. My name is Grace Crockett. I am the founder and CEO of Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions. Good evening, audience. How are you all this evening? I would first like to start off by saying that domestic violence is most likely to occur between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. I just want to throw a few stats out there to let the audience know that domestic violence has reported more than 6% of domestic violence incidents happen, 60% happen in the home, in a direct view of children and other family members. Being a past victim of domestic violence myself, I wrote a book titled Overcomer, giving my testimony, as Mr. Boyd said. And with the strength of God and being able to write my story and breaking the silence of domestic violence, even though my incidents occurred years ago, I've just now had the courage to share my story and break the silence. I hear it on the news every day. As a matter of fact, a 21-year-old woman was just murdered here in Phoenix. And after I got that news, I couldn't sleep. Because my heart just goes out to the family. And for her to be so young, to have lost her life to something that maybe could have been avoided. And that brings me to Agnes Center. And the purpose in the center is to help families end the cycle, not to pacify it or band-aid things that happen, but to address the issues and get help for both the offender and the victim. Because in order to end the cycle, we have to start on both ends. So it's not just one person getting help. It should be both persons, whether it's male, female, 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 you know, male, male, mother-daughter situation. I mean, domestic violence is all around. It's not just husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. It can occur in any relationship that is as a domicile relationship. So Agnes Center wants to address that and bring awareness and break the silence of the violence on the streets here in Phoenix. Okay. In my book, Overcomer, I tell many stories of how I was abused and how God showed up in every situation. One instance that I was in, and it's kind of hard to talk about it, even though it happened years ago, it still hits my heart. My offender, he was my boyfriend. We were living in together. And one day he came home. He was angry for something that happened, I guess, out in the streets, and he took it out on me. And he beat me so bad that after he you know, he beat me, blacked my eye, busted my lips. Both eyes were swollen, almost shut. And I can see just a little bit enough to where I can get out. But before I was able to escape, he raped me. And I fled the house unclothed, got in my car and drove. Had intent to go to my brother's, but apparently I fell asleep on some railroad tracks. And when I woke up the next morning, I was in the hospital, not knowing that I was found by police on railroad tracks. And no, that didn't open my eyes. It opened my eyes to that relationship, but because I was in a vicious cycle of keep going back to the same, as I call it, the same spirit, a different face, until I overcame it, I was still going back to the same spirit. So I had been in several different relationships, and my book goes to tell you about how God showed up in every situation. He rescued me, but now that I know who I am and whose I am, I know that I deserve better and that I don't deserve to be hit, smacked, you know, slapped, disrespected in any verbal. And not only is there verbal abuse, but there was also a lot of control. There was financial control. You know, I worked, and he basically took my money and tried to control it. So, you know, domestic violence, there's a whole array of situations that you can find yourself in, not knowing that that it is a form of domestic violence. You know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is the month of October. But because domestic violence is not a monthly, it's not a monthly attack, this happens daily in people's lives, and we need to address it and bring it out to the public on a daily basis. And with the Streets Don't Love You Back has partnered with Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions, and I am so grateful for that because they also want to make it a daily ritual that we bring it out. If we're not just posting it on Facebook, we're putting it out there on Twitter. We're commenting. We you know, it's just bringing awareness, because until the silence is broken and the statistics are going down at this rate, there it just seems that they're just drastically increasing with the deaths. And, you know, people are not even having the opportunity to overcome the domestic violence because they're dying. And that is so sad. And my heart just goes out to families and women and the men. Now, the young lady that we just lost recently, Sandra, her baby not only lost her mom or his mom, but also father, because now dad's not there, mom's not there. Now we have this baby that's out there with no parent. Now, as a grandparent myself, how do I address that? How do I tell my grandchild that, you know, your mom was murdered by your dad? So my heart goes out for the parents of Sandra as well. So, Boyd and Lucinda, as you all know, my heart is just, it's overwhelmed right now for everything that's going on here in our city, and bringing awareness, and you all giving me the opportunity to speak not only to Arizona but also to the world to let them know that this silence needs to be broken. This deadly killer needs to be stopped. And I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to do that.
Well, we just thank you as well, Ms. Grace, for being the gracious young lady that you are, that's in the fight to make awareness of this. And me, you, and my wife spoke of this at our first annual walk, you know, about getting together, making this thing what it is. And that's every day, all day is Domestic Violence Awareness Day, not just in October, because people get killed 365 days a year, not just in October. So we thank you for even, you know, jumping in the same saddle with us to keep this mission going, because it's an epidemic that's killing all around the world, and it ain't stopped. But we can, as a unit, make this thing be heard, make this thing be noticed, and make this thing stop, you know?
Yes. And at Agnes Centers, and the reason I named it Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions and not Domestic Violence is because Violence is such a negative. We want to be a positive in the community, and we want to have the solution to the problems. So at our center, we not only address domestic violence issues and how to, how to detect when you're in a domestic violence relationship, domestic violence awareness. We also address drug and alcohol, because that's one main reason why I was abused, is because, you know, my offender was high. And in his sober, in their sober minds, they would never put their hands on me. But, you know, when you have alcohol and drugs playing a major character role, transforming that person from good to evil in a matter of, you know, an hour or maybe a second, depending on the drug of choice, that needs to be addressed. And so we target that to try to end. We also focus on the economic, you know, money is the root of all evil, remember, and, you know, the love of it is anyway. And so we address the, you know, finances in a family, how to budget your money, you know, how to grocery shop and have a leftovers, how to make meals on a budget, because, you know, money is, you know, a lack of money is the number one reason why people fight. It's one of the reasons why people, you know, couples argue, because there's not enough of it or a lack of it. We also educate and help people prepare for the workforce. They've never worked before. There's women that have been in domestic violence situations that depended on their husband, which, you know, and that's what part of his control was, if he keeps her barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen, and he went out and worked, she had no education, no kind of a training, no kind of hands-on skills that way she can go out in the workforce. So that was a power trip for him to say, and then an esteem, you know, issue for her. So we have classes that help you build your resume. We have give people the opportunity to come into the center and do administrative work on a volunteer basis, so they can build up their skills that we, you know, try to teach them and help them with, and interviewing skills. So the center offers a lot. We also have a donation center. So if someone wants to get into retail business, they can, you know, come in the donation center, learn how to size clothes, it is the proper way to put things on hangers, how to organize shelving and things of that nature to give you a job out in the real world in the retail business. So we offer a whole lot, and everything that we do at the center is free. Everything that we offer, all the classes are free. We have child care center. Maybe there's a parent that wants to know how to, you know, go into the early childhood development field and, you know, be a daycare provider. We have a daycare on site. You can come in, sign up, start, you know, gaining the skills from our experienced daycare provider that we have on site. So, again, there's a window of opportunity for a person to not only empower themselves to become economically established, also to build their self-esteem, to give them some pride about themselves, because when you're in a domestic violence situation, the person that is the accused, the abuser, what they do is they lower your self-esteem every opportunity that they can. And it takes a while for you to channel your and rechannel your mind to believe that you can do things, because they go into that, oh, you're nothing, you'll never be anything, no one's going to love you like me, and nobody wants a woman with three kids. Well, if you know, like I know, you don't need anyone, if you can gain those skills, and that's what we want to do at the center, is help people do that.
Now, I know that you're pretty new in Phoenix, and you have helped several families and currently people. Are you looking for more volunteers or people that have businesses that can maybe do some voluntary training with people that need to learn different types of jobs?
Yes, there's always an opportunity for people. We welcome volunteers all the time. So, yes, we would love to have volunteers come in, whatever skill set, like we have one volunteer that's going to come in, or has signed up to come in and teach arts and crafts. She makes jewelry. And that's a means of entrepreneurship right there. If they make their own jewelry, they can sell it and market it, and that'll bring some money into their pocket. So, and then we do have another person that wants to come in and teach women how to make aprons. She makes vintage aprons, and she sells them at the swap meet here, and she makes a nice little profit off of each character apron that she makes. So there is an opportunity for that, for other organizations to come in and partner with us and give the women, you know, give back to the community by teaching and doing that. So, yes, ma'am, there is an opportunity for that.
Just by, you know, helping them learn a skill, they can go out and, like you said, you know, just making aprons. If you know how to do that, you can make them and take them to Park and Swap and sell them, or even sell them online and have your own specialty.
That's right.
I like your name, too, as you said, solutions and not the negative of violence. And that's what it's all about now. We have to come up, instead of being a problem, we have to be part of the solution and try to find new ways and different ways and means for people to survive because, you know, as you know, our country, I mean, we can't depend on our government. We can't depend on sometimes maybe jobs. And we have to become self-sufficient and learn how to find ways and means of supporting ourselves and taking care of ourselves. So, you know, not only a woman or a man is in a domestic violence situation, but all of us need to have some things to fall back on because we don't know where things are going to be in the future, and we need to be able to take care of ourselves. What made you, you know, through all of the domestic violence and stuff that you went through, what and when did you have this feeling in your heart of wanting to help other people and start this program?
Well, about 2 years ago, I had gone through a terrible automobile accident. So during that time of, I can say, quiet time, I wasn't going to work. I couldn't go to work because my neck was broken. And it was because of an automobile, not because of domestic violence, thank God. And so I was home and just trying to renew my mind, renew my mindset. And I had just gone through a training at church. It's called the SALT training, seven areas of life training. And one of the classes was on unforgiveness. So I came to the reality, as Scripture says, you have to learn to forgive, and there's a lot of scriptures on forgiving. And in order for you to advance in God's kingdom, there's certain things that we have to do, and forgiving people that have hurt you is one of them. And that reality hit me hard. Like, how can I forgive them? So I was, you know, resting one day, and I was talking to God, and I said, I want to get this off of my mind, all the abuse, and I want to be able to forgive. But then God said, you know, you're going to tell your story to help other people. So that's how I wrote my book. And when I wrote the book, God told me that I'm going to open up a center. I'm going to help other victims. And I'm like, okay, well, how am I going to do that? Because I don't know how to do that. I've never did this before. So before I finished the book, he gave me my title, Overcomer. And then after that, when I did the book cover, before I finished the book cover, he told me to name the place that where I was going to help these people. So he planted my middle name that I didn't like all my life. I hid from it. Agnes. And I'm like, okay. Well, he told me to look the name up. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll look it up. Come to find out that Agnes means holy and pure. Then I looked a little deeper, and, you know, the Holy Spirit said, find out what about St. Agnes, who you're named after, because I was born and raised Catholic, and when we get christened as a Catholic baby, you get a saint name. So St. Agnes. St. Agnes was a virgin that was beaten, martyred, back in the day by the people that ran the area that she lived in. So I said, wow, God, you're awesome. So before Agnes Center was actually, it was just a vision, a conversation between God and I, and I put it on the front of my book that I was a founder of Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions. Had nothing, no idea when that was going to come true. And 2013, this year, the earlier part, I worked for the state of Arizona. And I was sitting in my cubicle at work, and God said my assignment here was up, and that started packing up my things. And I was disobedient for the first 2 weeks, didn't pay attention, didn't do it. And then one day I was sitting there, I was like, okay, so I started packing up my desk. And then a week later they told me that my position had been eliminated and that June 30th was going to be my last day. I cried when I got home. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to feed my family. I got another job. But then God was like, that's only going to be temporary because you're going to open up Agnes Center. I was like, if that's what you really want me to do, then drop a building in my lap. And Lord and behold, he dropped a building in my lap. I found the building, and as right now, the rest is history. But Agnes Center was just, it was just a thought that God had put in my mind, which I thought was a thought, but it's really something that he really wants me to do. And the fact that I'm able to help somebody. I learned later, well, now I learned that the reason God allowed me to go through all those domestic violence situations so is to walk in my purpose, and my purpose is to help other people. I guess he allowed me to do it because he knew that I would survive it, and that was the whole point of him showing up every time, couple of times I tried to commit suicide to get out. Because when you're in a situation like that, there's no way to get out. You think there's no way to get out, but there is a way. If you just look up, he's got the answer. We just got to tap into his knowledge and know what he wants us to do. And
right.
Several years later, you know, that's because it's not me. It's not me at all. What's going on in my life right now, I have no control over. I just turned it all over to God and said, okay, this is what you want me to do. You give me the courage to do it, because I didn't really have the courage because I didn't have an esteem. What was self-esteem? That was balled up and thrown out the window by all the abuses that I had in my life. So for me to even be on this interview, and the few interviews that I've been on already discussing my book and the center, it's all God, because I would not know what to say, would not have the courage to speak to anyone. But he's allowing me to do that because God already knows that there's a need, and everything that we as victims and overcomers have gone through and are going through, he knows it's not right. So he has to put somebody out there to say, look. So there's people like myself, there's people like Ms. Boyd and Mr. Boyd to bring it up, to bring it out and to talk about it.
Now we're going to dedicate a song to Ms. Grace, and it's called Life is Just a Story by my homeboy, Willie Chapman. Be right back.
You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. You're living in this struggle every day, we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. Mathematics on the
up, drop your bag when you out them all. Then it's back to the block. Big money grip, still hungry for them chips. Don't make me flip. Car your frame with the diamond chips. I just bought a new whip, can't it paint it double dip. Every day's a hustle. I'm trying to get it, trying to bubble. It's my life and my struggle.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle.
It is 15 to 25, yet still I rise. And I'm black and proud. My people say it loud. Walking like I talk and hold your head above the clouds and smile. Never let them see you sweat, I bet. The streets is always watching, catch you slipping, chicken hawking. Shami's out here walking, listening to the music. If you pay attention, I'll show you how to use it. I put flows on shows like life is so abusive. Adapt and overcome the struggle like how he do it. I prove it. Showing the world I am a king. Sing to the rhythm, my queen. This is your dream. Man in the building, example for all to see. Life can be a bitch, keep stroking until you ski. Stand on your own, keep fighting and never leave. Foundation is the knowledge I'm kicking, we're gonna bleed.
See, life is just a story that someone has to tell. We're living in this struggle, every day we're going through this hell. You see, life is just a story that someone has to tell. Life is just a story that someone has to tell. So try.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all,
huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up, you know, never give up, no matter what it is in life. You can't give up on anything. That's real, you know what I mean? So just keep your shot going, all y'all, you know. I look forward to coming to the game one day, NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there, all right? Okay, loved ones, y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
No matter what it is in life that you want, you gotta go out there and get it. Don't nothing make you a sleeper but a dream.
Never give up
on your goals, stay focused on you. Focus your view, succeed, cause I'm hoping you do. Keep climbing up the ladder, cause the key to success. Go hard and go home, never settle for less. Life is stress, but we gotta deal with it, homie. Send a prayer to the man to put a shield on it. Work hard for what you get, appreciate what you got. You can always improve, just don't stop. Go ahead with your dream to achieve in your life. Like rolling the dice, it won't come to you, so you gotta go get it. At the end of the day, add up the digits. Miss Price used to say, if there's a will, there's a way. So I live by it. And to this very day, I kept on mashing and I never gave up. Me believing in myself is the way I came up.
Hold you down.
Down in the dirt, number one rule is my family's first. I know you're probably saying
gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the hottest show worldwide, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And we're kicking it right here with the one and only Miss Grace in the house, and she's delivering that message tonight about domestic violence solutions, not domestic violence itself. She's about having solutions to the domestic violence. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. And like she said, we have teamed up, and we're going to continue making a loud noise against this domestic violence, not just in October, but this is a thing that we're going to be putting in their face on a constant basis. And I think we got somebody on the line tonight, Miss Grace, so I'm going to punch them in.
Yeah, who's calling, tuning in, man? It's G.I. just checking y'all out, man. How y'all doing?
Oh, what's happening, G.I.? Man, that's our man that always call in. We just here tonight talking to Miss Grace about the domestic violence solution. G.I., and tell us what you think of what's going on since you've been listening in.
I think it's a good thing to be, you know, working with the domestic violence, you know, kind of having a solution, you know, for domestic violence. She has some very good statistics on it, you know, talking about how, you know, the violence happens at a certain time and happens in the house. You know, we need to come together as a community, as a family, and learn how to deal with stress, how to deal with anger, how to deal with, you know, communicating with one another and, you know, be closer. And I think any kind of organization that's out there helping that, and, you know, this is a God-given thing. And sister, you're doing good, and I appreciate it. And, you know, the hard work that you're putting together and getting these events and stuff and helping them, the victims and the perpetrators out there, because, you know, it's always situations like that. You know, I'm in here with a lot of cats that's in here for domestic violence or actually certain situations that happens. And once we get these different type of groups in here, they kind of realize that they perpetrated the, you know, the victim, you know what I'm saying? I hurted somebody, hurted their whole family, and hurted loved ones. You know, we had a victim awareness program in here. And, you know, a lot of guys realize that they hurt their families, their loved ones. Like she said, you know, how can she tell her grandchild that they lost, you know, their father killed their mother, you know? And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of guys in here go through, you know, dealing with that,
right.
You know, having to try to deal with the children and reaching out to them. So, you know, it's always, it's a cycle that needs to be broken. And, you know, with God's gift and God's presence, we definitely can make that happen with sisters like her out there and different people like you guys bringing awareness to it. And that's what it's about. It's about bringing awareness. Keep up
my man. My man. And since we got you on the line, G.I., before we go back into Ms. Gray, I'm going to go ahead and shoot your joint out right quick while you're on the line, you know, because we battle for G.I. too, you know. Me and the missus, we keep him on the forefront as well, because we still screaming loud, free G.I., you know. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Help free G.I. California Political Prisoner of the Year, Mr. G.I. Johnson, film, TV, and record producer, is campaigning for freedom and justice against a wrongful police shooting, cover-up, and conspiracy. Please join in support with your help and donations by buttons, downloads, shirts, hats at the FreeGIProject.org. Your help is very needed. And help Free G.I. FreeGIProject.org. The FreeGIProject.org.
Hey, hey, we're right back with you again. Ms. Grace, you're back on the air, and we just loving the message that you're bringing to the table tonight. And we're asking everyone who's listening in tonight, either you're listening in on your phone or you're logging in on the website, go to Ms. Grace's website, see what the center is all about. You can donate to the center. You can volunteer to your presence to the center to educate others as well. And she's going to continue her thing, her and her staff. And we just want to give Ms. Grace and her whole staff a big shout-out right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show tonight.
Well, I thank you all for that, and thank you. And, G.I., thanks a lot for that, because it's encouraging that what God puts on my heart to say is to know that what he puts on my heart to say and what the words are coming out of my mouth are basically from him. And so I know that he's using me as the vessel to get the message out there. Before we move on, or before, I don't know if we're closing or not, it's something that I just, that's on the back of my book that I just want to read that, all right, here it goes. Women never plan to get into abusive relationships. When you find yourself in one, there are so many reasons for not getting out, so many truths, but there is a higher truth. There is one who supersedes the truth of domestic violence and rejection. There is Almighty God and Jesus Christ, His Son, the Rescuer. You never know what circumstances you can overcome until they're staring you in the face. You never know how many lives your victory can change until you share your truth. Don't give up. Don't quit. Turn to God and overcome. And our key scripture at Agnes Center is, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimonies. And that's out of Revelation 12:11. I've always been afraid to read the book of Revelation. And when God was putting this whole book together and everything, he had me turn to this scripture because I never even, you know, when he gave me, you know, the title Overcomer, I didn't realize that it's more than just domestic violence that I've overcome, meaning the abuse part. I've overcome the fear of it. I've overcome the lack of wanting to share my story to help and not knowing that it was going to help others. And when my pastor told me that by my nakedness, because I tell a lot of dirty laundry out in my book, and I was embarrassed, but I've overcome that. My pastor said, by my nakedness, women will be clothed. And hopefully not only women will be clothed by it, but the men that are out there doing it, pick up the book as well, read it, see what it's like, what I went through and my emotions and related to that woman that you're abusing. And let's put an end to it.
Amen. Amen for that. And let people know where they can go get your book at, Miss Grace.
Oh, it's available on Amazon.com, and you can also pre-order it off of the website, agnescenters.com website as well. And if you order it directly off the, you know, if you put in the order through Agnes Centers, I'll send you the book with my autograph. I mean, you know, it's not worth much, but.
Now, you heard that, ladies and gentlemen. You ain't got to run to Amazon.com. You run right on over to the Agnes Center. Solutions.com. You're going to get that autograph from Miss Grace personally because you can't get it if you roll over to Amazon.com. So let's keep a focus here and get that autograph. And that's a young lady who got a solution for you. Only thing you got to do is read, pay attention, and stay focused at what you're reading, and you will definitely get a solution out of this book because she's an overcomer. And you see that because she's on the Streets Don't Love You Back Worldwide Radio Show tonight, spreading that message that women and men can overcome this epidemic of domestic violence.
Grace, can you give some advice to the women or the men that may be in one of these relationships and what they should do?
I can definitely do that. First of all, you need to recognize that you're in an abusive relationship, and that's where a lot of us make that mistake or that misperception that, oh, he loves me, but not realizing that that love that he's expressing is really control. So here are some relationship questions you ask yourself. If you're in any of these situations, then most definitely seek help from Agnes Centers to redirect that energy. If you are embarrassed and being called bad names and put down, especially in front of people, you look at you or act in ways that scare you. If they control you with what they do, in other words, you better not, or don't you act like that. Who are you talking to? Who is that on the phone? Where did you go? How long did it take? And where? How many miles on your car? You know, if you get in that, That's all a part of control, and that's all a part of abuse. If they stop you from talking to your friends and put you in isolation, take your money and use it for their advantage and not to go to the grocery store and buy groceries. If they time you when you walk out the door and time you when you come in, if they have a problem with you communicating with your friends, destroy your property, threaten to kill you or your pets, of course, you know, intimidating you with the weapon, those are kind of given. But the main ones are threaten to commit suicide, threaten to kill you. Be aware. You know, I know that love runs deep, but love should not hurt. It shouldn't be angry. It shouldn't be puffed up. There shouldn't be any jealousy. If you have those situations going on in your life right now, I would suggest when the situations are calm, talk about it in a calm manner. Don't argue back. Try to hold your tongue. Scripture even says that be slow to speak and slow to speak and quick to hear and refuse to argue. Because when you're in a heated situation, it's hard to rationalize a situation when there's anger in the atmosphere. So when it's calm, talk about it and try to iron out the situation. If it's no solution to your problem, then it's time to move on.
And what are some of the reasons that women stay in an abusive relationship for years and years?
Well, I can speak for self, and fear and embarrassment are two, meaning embarrassed to tell somebody, embarrassed to speak out about it. When I was going through my situations, if there were places like Agnes Center, I never knew about them. I never heard about them, so I had nowhere to go. And, you know, I was told that you married it, you lied, you made that bed, you lie in it. So my first husband, I stayed with him so long, I didn't know that I could go because he was telling me I couldn't do anything. He was telling me nobody wanted me with three children. I was fat, I was ugly, you know, I was unworthy. So it wasn't nobody going to love me like him. And I didn't notice that. I didn't know then that love wasn't supposed to hurt. Love wasn't supposed to tell me those things. Love was supposed to tell me that I was beautifully, wonderfully made, that I am an honorable woman, not a slut, not a, you know,
mm-hmm.
The B word or, you know, and things like that. So when you are in those situations, you fear your life. Because, you know, they'll say, well, if you leave me, I'm going to take your kids. And did you know that when there is a murder-suicide, the kids are the first to be killed? Then
wow.
The wife, then they turn the gun on themselves. Because what they do is they say, I'm going to kill the kids. Or I'm going to take the kids, and they attempt to do that. And the mom, you know, not wanting, you know, of course, trying to protect their child, they kill the kids first.
Oh.
And then, yeah. So it's mostly, I would say, out of fear. And most of the women that I have talked to, fear is a major factor. But I've learned that fear is a false evidence of appearing real. So It's not a real fear. It's all of the enemy, and it's just not a real fear. So don't fear to get out. Don't fear to get help.
Right. Along with fear, they've been put in that position of being put down and not allowed to work and not allowed to have the friends and not allowed to be, you know, sociable. So, you know, we have to teach our young men and women to, like we said, become self-sufficient, you know, stay in school, get an education, so that, God forbid, if something like this were to happen, you would have your education, you would have your knowledge, and you would be able to fall back on something.
Yes.
You know, there's so many teenage pregnancies still, and kids getting tied down at such a young age when they could achieve so many things in life and, you know, have so much more. You know, the kids are out that are out on the streets, the kids that are using drugs, the, you know, the kids that do have that low self-esteem and turn to these other things for, you know, acceptance.
And that is so true.
Yeah, we just, I don't know. It's an ongoing job for all of us to educate, you know, especially the youth before they get into those situations. And if we can catch them and teach them, you know, and if it were in the curriculum at school from, you know, K through 12, you know, how to act in relationships and what to expect, you know, of yourself and others and how to treat people and, you know, anger management. How do you handle, you know, when you have these feelings, and how do you, you know, manage the stress when you're feeling, you know, anxiety or depression or, you know, so many different things nowadays, you know, with psychiatric disorders. But how do you handle these situations? Those kind of things are not taught in school. Or
no,
if it doesn't happen, they're so quick to put a child on medication instead of working through and finding out what the real problem is. And then from one medication to another, to another, to another, and then you've got the side effects of this one, the side effects of that one. And, I mean, I don't know. But we have a big job ahead of us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, continuing this education for the youth, and you know, hopefully as they grow up, they won't allow themselves to become a statistic or a victim, and they'll, you know, they can be strong enough to overcome those things and work through them.
Right.
And we
now,
thank you so much, Mike. Your testimony is so powerful, and your story is so powerful, and you know, we know that your story tonight and always will continue to help other women and hopefully other men or anybody that's in a relationship like that. Nobody deserves to be, you know, talked down to, put down, held down, you know, and like you said, love that shouldn't hurt. And, you know, if you love somebody, you build them up, you put them up on a pedestal, you cherish them. You know, you don't degrade them and knock them down and call them names. And so, you know, like Grace said, if you're in that kind of a situation, you know, maybe Grace, you can give them a few different ideas of maybe what to do to get out of that relationship. Like you said, we didn't know about the shelters and different things that there are now. But, you know, sometimes you may be able to get online if you're not being monitored, or your cell phone, or different... I mean, there's a lot of organizations nowadays, but there are some other little things that they may be able to do. Can you maybe address that a little bit?
Yes, actually, there are organizations in almost every city that there's a coalition in every city. So there's one major one, the Arizona Coalition Against Domestic Violence, but each small city has their own coalition that has resources. AGNA Centers has resources. We have resources for shelters if you need a shelter. And the city of Glendale actually is having a cell phone drive for people that want to donate their cell phones, and they will refurbish them and connect them and give them as an emergency phone for victims. And there's a lot of programs out there that, unless you're in the industry looking and searching, it's not like it's broadcast, though. So AGNA Center is doing that for victims and accusers. So you can contact us, and we can give you a list of shelters, a list of programs, a list of outreach services. We have free counseling and classes at our center, but we also refer people out if they need, you know, if they need, like, legal counsel. We have legal advocacy on property that my daughter is the co-founder, Mercedes Booker, and she runs that department. She can also, you know, if you need a lawyer, she has lawyer lists that if you need to retain a lawyer, if you have to go through that step. We also have someone that we work with in CPS that will, you know, direct you on the path to take in case you were in a domestic and the police came and took your children, to try to help you get your children back. So there's many resources out there in your communities. You just have to know where to tap into them. But, again, every state has a coalition, and there is a national coalition that we are members of as well.
Can you just talk about one other thing? If you're in a relationship like that and you're considering getting out, what are some of the documents that you might want to be kind of putting away somewhere, and what should you take with you? Should you have a bag ready somewhere? What are your suggestions?
Yes. If, for me, for instance, I had my documents in a lockbox. I used to work in a hotel. So I kept, my manager knew that he called us Mike Tyson and Leon Spinks, unfortunately, because I would go to work with black eyes and, you know. Aww. So, of course, I was the Leon Spinks and he was the Mike Tyson of the relationship. But so I had, you know, you have safe deposit box at a hotel. So I had a safe deposit box where I kept all my documents, emergency funds. Someone taught me that when you go to the grocery store, keep the change. Throw away the receipt, keep the change. So you have, for every nickel, dime, and penny that you save, when it's time, when enough is enough and you've had enough, you may have enough funds to get you and your kids to safety. Definitely always have someone on your backup to know where you are at all times, especially if you go on trips with this person, you know, because you don't want to be pushed overboard and nobody know that you even went on a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I know it sounds kind of harsh for me to say that, but it's at that point. Well, we need to bring the reality out.
Right.
Build yourself to be a mountain climber, and then you get to the top and you slip and fall off the cliff. That's
right.
Not reality. You were pushed.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody will know that because you didn't tell anybody you went hiking, and now you're missing. You know, that's the reality of it. And I know it's maybe hard to hear it, but if you are being abused, then you need to get help one way or the other. Get out, get to safety. But, yes, have a backup plan. Have your make sure that you have documentation with the courts or with your local police. Because if you don't, in most places and in most states, it's the burden of proof. Well, this happened one time.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, unless they have a record, not a record, but a pattern of it happening, they will blow you off as just another, because the law enforcement is under the mindset that you're going to go back. You're going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. We keep going back and we keep going back. And then at one time we go back, we end up like Miss Sandra.
Oh, yeah, that's without a doubt then. So any last words or any shout-outs, anything you'd like to give, Ms. Grace?
Well, I would like to shout out to my staff, to my daughter, Mercedes Booker, who has been by my side. She's seen some of it. She's gone through some of it personally in her own relationships. And I just want to say to mothers that have daughters, be encouraged. Keep your daughter close. Don't be nosy, but be aware of what's going on in her life. Stay strong for, you know, and then to my other staff members, Tanya and Cheryl, who have been by my side, and Miss Belinda, you know, that these women have been, we all have our stories. So So I just want to thank the staff of Agnes Centers for Domestic Solutions. They all volunteer. We don't have payroll, but these women are volunteering their time and helping this mission move forward, and I just want to thank them.
Sounds like a winner right there, you know. And before we get off the air, we're going to go out with a song called InfoWar, and we're going to dedicate that to everybody around the world. So that will be our last song going off tonight with. And we want to thank our man G.I. for calling in like he always do. And any last shout-outs from you, G.I.?
I just want to send a shout-out to y'all, man. The Streets Don't Love You Back organization, you and your wife, man, I appreciate everything you're doing. Sister Grace, shout-out to you and your organization, the Agnes Center. And I just thank all the people for listening in, bro. One love.
That's what it is, man. So we're going to go out tonight with that InfoWar and Free G.I., you feel me? So you and G.I. can hang on all the way till the song go off, and then we can depart. And like we always say here at the show, always remember, the streets don't love you back. And we out with the InfoWar. Peace out.
They think we don't know. Oklahoma City, Agenda 21.
They know some of them.
No, but they think most.
Y'all didn't know I was gonna come like this. Y'all ain't FEMA camps. The barbed wire's pointed in. These are my current events. Infowar.com. Now hear this. Better listen to what they say. They ain't just talking dish. There's a war out here. No one is safe from.
Doesn't matter how many rounds or how big your gun.
It comes down to one thing. Knowledge is power. Go read some articles. Just spend an hour contemplating InfoWars. Or find them on YouTube. You'll be surprised how much it'll change your mood. Stock up your drop food. Verify your water.
Don't buy into mainstream media. Don't even bother.
Teach one. Go tell your father, your mother, sister, brother, and uncle and daughter.
The temperature is rising. It'll only get hotter.
I hear what they're saying. I won't be their cannon fodder. I will be their example. No, not me. Not my kids, my wife, my friends. No, none of my family.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Inside of you,
let's make a decision.
I made a decision.
To make an incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Inside of you,
let's make a decision.
I made a decision.
Let's get incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
I feel you, Alex Jones.
But not like the TSA.
I hear you, Alex Jones.
I'm listening to what you say.
You got them on the run. They know we're marching their way.
All the knowledge and history and maybe a few guns.
They can't fool us.
We're not the ones.
They can lie to some, but not to all.
As we stand up, down they fall. We're taking our stance back. Liberties and all. We ain't playing their games. We're taking the ball.
We're patriots. They best heed the call.
As they're walking through the valley, they should watch where rock falls. They can't stop us all.
There's strength in numbers.
Many hands make light work. We can watch them crumble.
We are coming, that is all.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Inside of you,
let's make a decision.
I made a decision.
To make an incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Inside of you,
let's make a decision.
I made a decision.
To make an incision.
Cut out the bullshit.
Goodbye, good riddance.
1984.
No, 1776.
We ain't gonna be your slaves.
We ain't gonna be your big old.
We ain't gonna be your punk.
We ain't gonna be your trick.
When you come, you'll find us shooting bullets and flicks.
It's just a bunch of bullshit, so
feel this,
when we think it won't hurt, just a little prick.
It'll get back like a hit of your own
itch. This is just a preview of what is coming.
Down the pike, or down the knife.
If you don't respect us, we don't respect your life.
This is not a threat, it's a warning to you.
So you're coming after us, we're not chasing after you.
We're standing our ground, don't get too close.
But we are like the sun, you'll get burned like toast.
From coast to coast, and see the shining sea.
Goodbye, good riddance.
There's a war on information.
And the planet's a prison.
Inside of you.